We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour. You can say with us by saying, hey, man. Hope you're having a great day. Happy Thursday, everybody. We got a new Pope. Mike mentioned it last hour. And he's from America. Also, find out what the Braves are going to do once Spencer Strider gets back. Grant McCauley's going to join us in less than 15 minutes from now as we go around the yard as they finish up this series with the Reds. Last night, a little disappointing. We'll get into that as well. But, Mike, we had a chance today, pretty cool, to talk to the other rookies we've not had a chance to visit with. We got on Jalen Walker day after the draft. James Pierce stopped by day after the draft. Well, today, Xavier Watts, safety out of Notre Dame, stopped by the show, guys. And his resume is pretty impressive. Again, 13 interceptions over the last two seasons and one of the best safeties in college football. And we started our conversation with Xavier talking about what was his secret to success at Notre Dame.
It's great.
Yeah, it does.
I think it's a mixture of one type of player I am. You know, I was able to, you know, have the mindset of, you know, going out there and make plays and dominate. And then two, I mean, just my teammates. I have a really good support system. My teammates did their job so I could do my job. And then as well, just the coaches. I had good coaches. I had a good scheme. So
we were surprised you were there where you were and the Falcons move up to get you with the 96 pick. What did you know where you were going after the combine? Where'd you think you were going to go and how excited to be an Atlanta Falcon?
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going to go. I mean, obviously it was a lot of different you know, news and noise of kind of where the range I was supposed to go. But obviously, you know, when the Falcons called me, I was really excited. I mean, I get to learn from one of the best safeties in the NFL. So, I mean, I'm just really excited to be, you know, be on the team in general and then learn from a good safety. So
awesome.
Yeah, I and we agree with you. Jess is pretty damn good. talk to us about, you know, the night of, man. I mean, we've been asking all the guys. We had Billy Bowman on and Jack Nelson, you know, your classmates here with the Falcons, about the moment and just how that was for you. I mean, where were you at? Was there family around? What was going on?
Yeah, I mean, I was at – I had a family, like, little party. Had some family up there, some friends, some coaches. But, like I said, just getting that call was – it was amazing. I cried. It was – I'm not a big crier, so just getting that call was really emotional. And just being around everybody that had supported me and – you know, has always been there for me. Just celebrating that moment with them was a really good moment.
Xavier Watts is with us, guys. As we mentioned, he's a Bronco Nagurski Trophy winner in 23, is the best defensive player in the country. And we talked about how physical Notre Dame was and Coach Freeman, the job he did. Talk about that Sugar Bowl, because you guys really smacked Georgia around at the line. And obviously you were the defensive player of the game.
He's laughing.
Yeah. I mean, we came out there with a mindset to go out there and, you know, kind of – dominate Georgia. You know, they had previous success, and you know, coming into that game there was a lot of smoke in terms of they were going to blow us out and they were Georgia, they're all big and bad. But you know, we kind of took that to heart and be like, you know, they're playing Notre Dame. I mean, this is not the same Notre Dame team from whatever a long time ago. So I mean, we took that to heart and we went out there and we, you know, proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that you did, and the physicality showed through. There's no debating that. Xavier, talk about your coach, though, Marcus Freeman, because, you know, we talk about these transitions, and when Brian Kelly left, and everybody's like, oh, what are you going to do? And then Coach Freeman takes over. What's the vibe like? What's it been there? Because obviously you guys are playing at a high level and playing for chips last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when Coach Freeman took over, we already knew kind of what it was. Like, we knew he was going to come in. He was going to do great things. Like, he was the defensive coordinator, so a lot of guys already knew the type of guy he was, the type of coach he was. So we knew he was the right guy for the job, and we just knew he was going to help the program out, turn it around. You know, he made Notre Dame cool. He brought some swag with it, and, you know, a lot of guys really believe in his mission. I mean, he helped a lot of young men become great men and great football players. So, I mean, he's been doing an amazing job.
I remember we talked about it, Xavier, on the radio when you guys made that announcement and the way the reaction in the locker room, everybody just went bananas. So it seemed like it really was heartfelt.
No, yeah, like I said, we've all been around. We were all around him earlier, and we knew he was the guy for the job because, I mean, he truly cares for his players. He's a younger guy. He's got some, like I said, he got some swag with him. But, I mean, he'll get on you. He's a good coach as well. So, I mean, we were all really happy.
What does Xavier Watts like to do outside of football?
I like the golf. I like the ball. I mean, my time off, let's see what. This whole time leading up to here, I was golfing all month a lot. So I like the golf, like the ball. I like to travel. But I'm really chill, laid back type of guy. Don't do too much, but I do a little bit.
How's the golf
things every now and then?
How's the golf game?
It's
like all of
better.
Us.
It's golf.
I broke 100 for the first time. A couple, what was that? Like two rounds ago.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm getting better, but I got some work to do for sure.
Well, wherever you decide to live, man, I mean, you can't go wrong. There's golf courses everywhere where the Falcons practice, and you'll be set. I often wonder, because we've been to South Bend a few times. What do you do in South Bend for excitement, man? It just seems like it. I know there's a bar scene, but it seems like it's a pretty laid back vibe.
Nah, that's why it was perfect for me. Like I said, I'm really chill and laid back, so all I could focus on was football and school. There's nothing to do in South Bend, not going to lie. so it was perfect. But South Bend's a good city. It's cool. But
right.
Yeah, I hear you. But it's Xavier Watts joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, man. So tell Falcon fans, because look, everybody's excited about the draft class and getting you guys, you know, in uniform and seeing what this is going to look like. We got a lot of work in front of us. But tell Falcon fans what you're bringing, man. What are you bringing to the squad?
Yeah, I mean, I'm bringing a playmaker to the field, to this organization. I mean, I go out there, I make plays, and I help the team win. So I'm really excited to, you know, get to work and show what I can do.
Well, a lot of folks are stoked because, as you said at the start of the interview, your idea of you and Jesse Bates, I mean, that sounds like there could be something on a T-shirt soon, man. That sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
For sure. And I appreciate it.
He is going to be, I believe, a playmaker, man. I don't want to say he's going to be Jesse because Jesse's coming here and just blown doors away. But he has that kind of potential, Mike, when
and again,
we talk about
playmaking. You know, we always ask guys all the time, like, hey, who do you model your game? He mentions, hey, Jesse Bates. Boom. That's a dude that, and again, we talked about it, best offensive player in college. I'm sure Georgia fans, I don't know, bad memories, but you still got it on tape and DVR. Watch this guy all over the field.
No doubt. So that's Xavier Watts. What about Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma? We had a chance to visit with him earlier today as well here on Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we asked him, he's going to play a lot of nickel for us, guys. He's listed as a safety, also playmaker. And we said, hey, what are you bringing to this team?
I'm bringing a lot of well, first and foremost, let me say thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be a Falcon. I'm glad to be here in Atlanta. And it's been nothing but pure blessings and things like that. But I'm bringing definitely that dog side of me. You know, I pride myself on playing defense. I love defense, and I love what the challenges it brings. I just want to go out there and, you know, push myself to the limits and push my teammates to the limits. So just go out there, be a leader, and then be somebody on the field who, you know, will just earn the respect of his teammates. So I'm ready to get this thing kicked off, and you know, I'm just ready to go out there and work with the guys.
Billy, we were reading your bio during the commercial break, and you played wide receiver, man, in Texas. I mean, as a high schooler. So why don't you be a little Travis Hunter for us, man? We get you on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I know. I wish, man. I wish I could have did that in college too, but I didn't get a chance to. Yeah.
So you played at OU. Talk about this experience, because Brent Venables was there, obviously, at the end for you. But what was that experience like? Because, again, you know, high expectations, big-time program. And then you guys make the transition to the SEC.
Right, yeah. So before I went there, Oklahoma had won 6 in a row conference championships. They went to the college football playoffs 4 times. So, you know, I wanted to be a part of something great. I wanted to be a part of a family atmosphere. And so that's exactly what Oklahoma provided. Although – my 4 years there, though, I didn't get any rings, any national championships, conference championships, but that's all good. I don't regret any of it at all, because I think it was all meant to be for a reason. My freshman year was with Coach Lincoln Riley and his staff, and then my last 3 years was with Brent Venables and his staff. So I just feel like, you know, everything played out how it needed to play out. It definitely brought some challenges. So just getting you prepared for the next level is what it's all about.
And we know Coach Venables from his time at Clemson, and he's hot, crazy, man. You got to keep him on the sideline. Did you pick up stuff? Is it a transition? You were able to learn some stuff from the new staff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a lot. It was more defensive-minded. It was a lot more, you know, learning situational football, you know, just things from – what do offenses like to do in the red zone, to what they like to do their plays on first and 10 or third and long, the 2-minute drill, you know. So just learning the game more. And, you know, obviously, like you said, Brent Venables, yes, he can get crazy at times, but I love it, though. I love every time he does that, and because it just brings back you know, the focus of the team and things like that. So, yeah.
Falcons defensive back, safety slash nickel. I think he's a baller. His name's Billy Bowman, guys. And he's joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First time we've gotten a chance to chop it up. We'll get a chance to see you up at camp and all the stuff that we'll be a part of up there, Billy. But I want to also ask you about your conversations with Terry Fontenot and our coach Raheem Morris. How soon did you think they might draft you? What were those conversations like? And did you have any inclination that, hey, I'm going to Atlanta?
No, I didn't really. I mean, I had a private workout with Atlanta, and so I definitely felt good about things. You know, I definitely knew that Atlanta had a third round pick, and you know, I was hoping I would fall there. But you know, Xavier Watts got taken there, and then like I said, it's all meant to be for a reason. You know, I'm gonna love to play alongside Xavier, and so you know, me just going in the fourth round, you know, I'm in the door now, but now you got to go knock the door down. So
right on.
It's a blessing to be here, and I've talked to Coach Morris, and you know, guy full of energy, always smiling on his face. So it's going to be fun to play for a coach like that.
Yeah, man, you say it. Everybody we talk to plays with this guy, loves him. I think you're going to have a blast. By the way, how did you spend your draft weekend? Were you glued to the TV? How'd you watch it?
Yeah, so no, I had you know, just immediate family over the first night of the draft, just watching that first round. Just, you know, your dreams finna come true. So you know, just sit down there and watch it. And day two, you know, I was expecting me to be, my name to be called on day two. And so, you know, kind of threw something a little big, you know, not too crazy. And then, you know, not going on day two, definitely, you know, swayed my emotions a little bit. You know, the emotions is emotional roller coaster really throughout that time. And then day three came, you know, get back, refocus, reengage, and just, just know that my time was coming. And so we had those same people over again. And so it was great to be around all my family and supporters and teammates.
Billy Bowman on the line with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Billy, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, your girlfriend is a world-class softball player, and you guys have been dating for a while. I'm just curious how that has helped you, because I think she's won like three or four national championships. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. She's won four in a row national championships, four in a row All-American seasons, conference player of the year, everything you could think of.
Wow. So how has it helped you? I mean, because she can relate to your journey, right? I mean, you guys, and I don't know, like, how often are you talking sports? Is it all the time? And how has that helped you as a football player?
Yeah, that's helped me a lot. Not just as a football player, but as a person, just having somebody next to you that understands what you go through, because she does it herself also. You know, but we talk sports all the time. We can't get away from sports. So we love sports. We love talking about softball, basketball, football, baseball, you know, anything you could think of. We're sports junkies. But, you know, she is obviously more decorated with the trophies and stuff than I am. But now I got to catch her.
That's awesome, man. If you're just tuning in, guys, it is Billy Bowman from our draft class, guys, fourth round out of Oklahoma here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So you said you talked to the coaching staff. What are the expectations? What do you think they're going to ask you to do?
Not necessarily cleared with that yet, but, you know, whatever I have to do, I'm willing to do it. And so I think I've shown that, you know, throughout my college years that I'm a guy who's very versatile and very coachable. So whatever needed to be done can get done.
Well, we know you bring the hat. You like the physicality of the game. You're not afraid. Best thing I loved about you, man, like after the day after the draft, you know, you did like a video or whatever, and you're like, I fear nobody.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's we need more of that, Billy.
Yes.
So more of that, Billy. We know you're a playmaker, man. You consider yourself a ball hawk. I mean, how, you know, when you talk about all those interceptions and making plays like that, we need to create more turnovers on this defense. Is that your forte?
Oh yeah, that's definitely my forte. I love getting the ball back for the offense. You know, that's something that I've done all my life, really. You know, just being able to find the ball when it's thrown in the air and go make plays on it. So I'll definitely be bringing that aspect.
Love the energy, Mike, from Billy Bowman. Xavier Watts, again, these are guys we're going to be seeing in the secondary when camp rolls around, guys. We're going to talk some Braves when we come back, and we'll let you hear more from our young draft class.
Yeah, man, we're going to talk to our newest offensive tackle, a big man from Wisconsin.
Coming up, though, Grant McCauley's on the way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk to Grant McCauley and go around the yard as the Braves continue their series tonight with the Reds. Grant, Mike and I were talking about it. We started the show. I didn't like Snit's decision last night. Look, am I nitpicking? Because he's had so many of these moments where he's made the right decision. But the fixation on Eddie Rosario, and he said, you know, he was just trying to get some magic, get the magic back, some old magic. Mm. What did you make of that decision? It's not the reason we lost. Obviously, the pitching wasn't up to par, but what did you make of that?
No, I mean, you had 26 other outs, I guess, but whoever makes the last out, if you got the chance of doing something special, you just want it to be a player that I feel like if you're crowdsourcing the answer that you feel a little bit more confident in than someone who's had, what, 4 at-bats in a Braves uniform this year, I believe, as of last night. But,
right.
You know, sometimes you go with your gut, and sometimes you play some intuition, and it works, and you feel like a genius, or look like a genius at least. And other times you make a call like that, and they're all judgment calls. And it's not the right guy. I mean, would it have been different, better to have Sean Murphy up there or to just leave Eli White in the game? You can make a case for that, a strong case for that. But, again, I think that the Braves and their offense is really, and I know we've talked about this over the last week or so, kind of reverted back into having a real problem with squandering opportunities and leaving guys on base. And that has a cumulative effect. It adds up. And that, I think, is really what hurt the Braves more so than putting the bat in Eddie Rosario's hands and hoping that something good was going to happen.
I've been riding Matt Olson. He did have an RBI last night. And Ozzy had. So that's, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, something hopefully can build on. But you're right. Leaving guys on base, it just seems to be a thing. And last night, they just couldn't get on base in the first place because they were going up against, as you said, one of the, I mean, a pretty good pitcher. But then we knocked him out of the box with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. You thought, well, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but is this an opportunity for the Braves to be able to avoid having to deal with somebody like that for 6 or more innings? And unfortunately for Hunter Green, who landed on the injured list with a groin strain, if anybody didn't catch the game last night or the extent of the injury, it is going to put him down for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, long story short, they keep having these chances, it feels like, and just right now, for whatever reason, it's not clicking. And it's Olson, it's Albies, it's Harris. I mean, Sean Murphy has cooled off a little bit as well. Even Alex Verdugo has cooled off. We felt like that was probably going to happen. But, you know, you look at it collectively, a couple of guys get going one night, and then maybe a couple others can't really get the hit that you need at that time. But, you know, you just have to keep going out there and, you know, trying to make your adjustments on a daily basis. They're doing the work. Every time I get here at 2:45, 3:00 in the afternoon, you've got a whole group of guys that are out there on the field hitting early, not just in the cages where there are more players hitting, but there's a lot of work being done trying to get this whole thing sorted out. So hopefully they're able to do it. And the pitching has been, I think, for the most part, and I know Grant Holmes gave up some runs early yesterday, but they kept that game manageable. They kept it close. And that's what they really need out of this pitching staff right now, which could, and we can talk about it, get a boost in the next week or so from the return of Spencer Strider, which has been the hot button topic around here today.
All right, let's talk about that. What is that going to look like? They were going to allow him to speak, and then they didn't. What was the thought behind that, and what are we hearing about Strider?
I think we got more quality and quantity from Spencer Strider today than yesterday. It also gave them some time to really see how he felt the day after throwing that bullpen session yesterday, because he could tell you after yesterday's session, he felt great. Wake up today, be sore. Everything he told you last night means nothing because he didn't feel good the next day. The body didn't recover. So fortunately, putting all that aside, he did feel great today. And Strider kind of with the, you know, wry smile and the inflection, you could tell it's like he's killing him. He wants to get back out there. He said, in my perfect world, you know, I wouldn't be throwing another bullpen, but he is going to. He defers and says that it's probably a good thing that he doesn't make all these decisions because he always wants to be on the mound. But the team is going to have him travel to Pittsburgh, throw a bullpen on Saturday. And if that goes well, it sounds like he could forego needing a minor league rehab start because he was able to keep his arm kind of up to speed and going throughout this entire process. He got a platelet poor plasma injection in that right hamstring a couple of days after the injury and said he's pretty much been pain-free since about a week after. So don't want to aggravate it. Don't want to push it too far too fast, but it does sound like Spencer Strider is on the mend. And if all goes well, could rejoin the Braves rotation by the end of next week. Again, that is the most optimistic timetable I can give you, but I feel like some Braves fans out there could use the optimism.
And I saw the photo of Myles Garrett, our buddy from Fox 5, snapped. And you're in the background there looking very intently at our guy. And you know, and you said it before, Grant, he's embarrassed by this whole thing. I mean, the fact that he just – because he's a competitor.
Yeah, he said, I don't want to miss another 5 minutes, let alone 2 more weeks. And, you know, when he got hurt the last time, I mean, I've heard some dejected conversations from guys after injuries and inconsistency and slumps and all that stuff. I mean, it happens over the course of 162, and I've been around this game for 21 years now. But hearing Spencer Strider say, look, I mean, I'm not earning my paycheck right now. I haven't helped this club do anything in a year. Those are some pretty strong words, and he means it. I mean, this is the kind of competitor that he is. And again, you know, when he says, if it were my perfect world, I'd be coming back off the injured list ready to start in 4 days, gives you all the indication you need to know that he is just champing at the bit, ready to jump back in there and start helping this club win games again.
Yeah, it's a great attitude to have. It's Grant McCauley. We go around the yard. Tonight, what are we getting, man? Look, Mike asked me if Schwelly is not on his game, should we be concerned tonight? Like, what does that look like?
Well, I think it would kind of depend on what the results look like that he's dealing with. Is he getting hit all over the yard the way he was against the Dodgers with 10 or 11 really hard hit balls, which is not something we see very much from Spencer Schwellenbach. I think he's made, what, just over 30 major league starts, or right around 30, and in only four of those had he given up as much hard contact as he did against the Dodgers last time out. The Reds, we saw last night, they've got some guys, if you make mistakes, they will punish you, and we haven't really seen a lot, and I don't want to wake him up, but Ellie De La Cruz has been relatively quiet in this series. He's a guy that I feel like you always have to keep your eye on because of the talent that he possesses, but I think for Schwellenbach, and Brian Snitker talked about this a little bit before the game as well, I think teams have started to see, okay, well, this guy is a strike thrower, and even though he has six pitches, why don't we try to minimize his ability to use those by jumping on him early and triggering something early in the at-bat? And that, I think, is what he's trying to solve for is, all right, well, maybe I need to open up with something different. Maybe I need to stay just a little bit off the plate. I'm not going to tell you he needs to be Bryce Elder and pitch in the margins or anything like that, but he could with his arsenal and then come in when he needs to and dial it in because he does have that kind of pinpoint accuracy, I believe. But that, I guess it could be a blessing and a curse for a young pitcher when teams start to kind of crack the code. How quickly can you adjust to get them off of certain pitches and certain counts?
And again, if they do go and they suggested maybe when Strider comes back, you said the six-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as long as, you know, as Shaver can, as you said yesterday, Shaver looks great. If he can build on that, and you do get the production, and Schwellenbach does, you know, get consistent. We'll all be watching tonight. Then all of a sudden, okay. So then, what do you say? My next big thing to check off on the list for Alex, it would be just to beef up the bullpen, or you still think you're getting another arm?
No, I would say that everything should still be on the table right now because I asked Brian Snitker in the presser prior to the game about the six man idea because you have them right now. There's been some pretty consistent results by and large. I mean, they're not all going to be perfect, but for the most part, the starting rotation seems to have turned a corner. Last year, there was so much, I feel like, benefit from that extra day or that extra arm to keep Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez through that whole season. Could that be beneficial, not just for Sale, obviously, but for Strider at this point? And Brian Snitker said, we've talked about a lot of different things. It will depend on the individual performances. They're not just going to stick with it to stick with it. There may be a case where, hey, the bullpen gets wiped out and somebody's got to get optioned and you got to get some more relievers in the mix. And that just is what it is for that next 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever the case is. But I think it could be beneficial for them. I think they may try it out and it may just all depend on performance, not of the Chris Sales and the Spencer Schwellenbachs and Spencer Striders, but anybody else who's in that equation.
All right, Grant, we'll see what happens tonight, man. The good news is they're coming, and it's just a matter of time now. And we're talking about, obviously, Strider and Acuna. They're coming. When that happens and we get, you know, to full strength again, it's going to look completely different. Thanks so much, Grant. We appreciate you, bro.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, Mike. Look, the six-man rotation, how do you feel about that, by the way?
You know, I despise – all right, we've covered all my trifecta today. Three-point shooting, analytics, what else? Strength of schedule not being valued last year by the committee. And now this. No, I hate it. I hate the six-man rotation. But again, when I was a kid, there were four. Now there's six. But if you're trying to help out Sale and you help out your veterans, I mean, it made sense with Ronaldo Lopez because, you know, the wear and tear thing last year. But, of course, he's not here. I mean, like, whatever works. If Schwellenbach can just figure it out tonight, okay. Schmidt Schauver, then make it work. If Strider comes back, then you're taking less wear and tear on a guy dealing with an injury. I know he won't like it, probably.
No, I don't think so either. We'll see. Snitch trying to, you know, again, help his club get as healthy as they possibly can. When we come back, you get a chance to hear from Jack Nelson, big offensive lineman from Wisconsin, as Mike and I had a chance to catch up with the rookies today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting to know you, Mike. We're getting to know the rookies.
Yeah, man. They were only had a couple of guys. We didn't have all of our picks, but the guys we got to meet, everybody's been kind of juiced about because they all seem to have great energy, and it's exciting to hear these guys as they begin their journey with the Falcons. Now, when you get to a third rounder who you moved up to get, pretty good shot at making the roster. Fourth rounder, everybody's high on because they thought there was value with the pick with Bowen from Oklahoma. And then once you get to the seventh round, some guys will say, maybe it's like an undrafted, pick. Is he going to have a shot? Well, this guy played tackle at Wisconsin his whole career. He's a mauler. His brother played at Wisconsin. He kind of fits the bill in Taylor.
Yeah, we talked to Jack Nelson, and we want you to hear what he had to say in regards to the legacy. To Mike's point, football runs through their family.
I don't know, man. Bijan Robinson?
Yeah. I played at Wisconsin with my younger brother. He's on the team there still. My dad played at Wisconsin. All of them played at O-line. And, football just kind of runs real deep. I got three younger brothers. They all play football. And so to kind of be here is a dream come true.
From Madtown, from Madison, man. Yeah, talking with our newest Falcon, Jack Nelson. The process, man, with the combine, did you anticipate you'd go where you went?
I think I didn't really have a great idea. I strained my hamstring right before the Senior Bowl, so that was a little disappointing. I was a little disappointed I couldn't show off, what I could do at the Senior Bowl and, doing some of the combine testing. But regardless of that, all I need was the opportunity, and I got it. So I'm real thrilled about that.
Guys, he's big. 6'7", 312 pounds. At least that's what they list you as, Jack. We talk a lot about big hands and the length of these guys that play your position. What do you say about all of that stuff? The measuring and the hand size, because they talk about tackles and keeping these edge rushers off the quarterback.
Yeah, I would say, you can't have some 15-inch arms or something like that. But when they start splitting hairs, talking about, quarter of an inch, this, that, I don't think it really makes that big of a difference.
Right. Now, man, look, all we know is when we think of, the Big Ten, Jack, and Wisconsin, we just figure you're a mauler. We figure you're a guy that used to beat up your brother, or tried to, and just wants to beat up people. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
How tough, by the way, what is Wisconsin practice like? I mean, because, every in the SEC, every region thinks they got the best, toughest guys. But what was it like playing in the Big Ten?
Practices were tough. There was definitely some grinder practices, especially when Coach Fickell came in there. Mm. It was a real trying to test your toughness, but, only made us better. I think it's prepared me well for what's to come.
Jack Nelson joining us here on the show, guys, introducing you to all of our new rookies as rookie camp is opened up this week up at Flowery Branch. What about, the strengths of your game? We know Wisconsin traditionally has always had a pretty good run game. I see you, and I've heard from scouts that you're a great run blocker. What do you think the strengths are of your game?
I would agree with that. I think I'm pretty good on the backside of zone stuff, especially cutting off on those backside plays. I think my quickness and my lateral agility really helps me out there. So I would definitely have to agree with that. I'm really excited for this offense. Mm.
As we mentioned, guys, you heard from Jack. His brother Todd played, and his dad, Nelson, played at Wisconsin. I saw a photo from your Wikipedia page. Your dad looks like he can still lace him up right now.
Yeah. He certainly likes to get after it in the weight room. But, he's definitely getting a little long in the tooth.
Is he the guy that would get you guys up? Let's go, son. Get you in the weight room early. Was he that guy?
Oh yeah. My dad's definitely a really intense individual. He's real intense dude. That's for sure.
No, I'm looking at the photo, Carl. I mean, he's going to burst right out of the screen at you. Again, guys, we're talking about one of our newest Atlanta Falcons. Jack Nelson here is with us. And again, we've been asking all the guys that got drafted, not knowing, as you said, after the combine, because you were banged up, how did you spend that weekend? When did you get the phone call? What was that like?
It was definitely a really stressful time. Like I said, just a lot of uncertainty, but we decided to have spend the draft at the at this local bar that we're family friends with the owner in Madison. So we had my family, a couple of close friends, and a lot of guys from the team from Wisconsin. The whole line was there, so it was pretty cool. And when I finally got that call, to be surrounded with my best friends, my family, it was definitely something special for sure.
So real estate and urban land economics, what is that, Jack? I mean, what are you going to be, a mogul?
I mean, I just knew if I was going to get my degree paid for, I wanted to, make it worth it and not do some kind of, communications or some kind of cop out. So, yeah, but that being said, I mean, it was,
It was the easiest degree in the business school, so I went with that one.
All right. I was going to say, apparently, Carl, there was no geology rocks for jocks at Wisconsin.
When I saw that, I was like, impressive. And by the way, I'm being serious here. He is an academic All-American while he was at Wisconsin, so Jack is all about it. Hey, man, what do you think about the Falcons? What were your perceptions? I don't know if you had any before you got here. And did you ever watch any of these games, and did you see Michael Penix last year, or did you watch any of this squad?
To be honest, not much. Prior to this, my life was kind of just dominated by college football,
sure.
Obviously. But the only thing I really knew about the Falcons was, it was down south. And, I've never really been down there, so excited to be here. Definitely a new experience, great people so far, and I'm real thrilled, looking forward.
Outstanding. We got a coach. It'd be interesting. Everybody who gets to meet Coach Raheem Morris for the first time, I mean, he's a real energetic personality. So there's almost like a little bit of a college vibe there. Be curious to see how that works out. And I don't know, man, Bijan Robinson and all these weapons and Michael Penix. We got a lot of guys. So looking forward to seeing you out there, man, protecting these dudes.
Absolutely. I'm beyond stoked. Super excited.
And who wouldn't be? You're living the dream. And Mike said it. Whether you're a fourth-round pick, sixth-round pick, or first-round pick, now what do you do? That's the key. And it doesn't matter, guys, ultimately where you get drafted. You get a chance to come in, Mike, and prove it. And if you show out, you're going to get a chance to play in the National Football League.
Right. And I said this earlier to Carl. I do get on the front office from time to time. Maybe you've heard. But they've done a really nice job evaluating the trenches. We think about how they nailed Bergeron. That pick was certainly a no-brainer. He's been great. I mean, you look at the depth that they've added, between Storm Norton and Newsil. When we've had guys go out, we really haven't lost a step. So this is great. Now, by design, he is a left tackle at Wisconsin. But, of course, he could switch over. But, again, first things first, as a seventh-rounder, obviously longer odds to make the team. But sure. Like I said, they've done pretty good getting the right guys for the trenches.
Yeah, and the bottom line for me on this is, as we've been discussing these guys today, and thanks to the Falcons and certainly all these guys for giving us a few minutes, rookie camp has started. And so there's a picture of Jalen walking in the building. They're all there. But I just feel like, Mike, do we have the impact class that we think we needed? And that's what we got to wait to see. Because we talked about how many of these guys could come in and even have an immediate impact. As I said, first pick, yes. Second pick, better. Third pick, I believe so. I think you got three guys that could really have an impact on your football team this season. And again, that doesn't mean that they're all pros, but man, again, if the sack numbers are up, the pressures are up, Mike, the picks are up with Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman, we're going to feel really good about this class.
It was interesting because earlier today we found out that Jadeveon Clowney got released by Carolina. He went on social media, I still got some gas in the tank, and he probably maybe does. But I'm cool with Leonard Floyd and where we're at with our guys. We got so many guys, and we don't even know what we have, in Braylon Trice, who now is looking up in the depth chart all of a sudden because of Jalen Walker and others. But you with me? Kind of hard pass on
No.
If we had injuries, if this was later in the year when he's still out there on the float, yes. But no interest in Jadeveon Clowney at this stage.
It doesn't make sense. It's what I said earlier in the show. Like the idea that you see Jadeveon Clowney available.
It's a name.
You get excited. We've lived that. We just did this the last couple of years trying to figure out and go get a 30-plus-year-old guy who could come in and maybe get you six sacks. Guys, we just got two fresh guys off the tree. Let's grow with them and let's see where we go. And by the way, we shouldn't continue to stop drafting it. Edge is like bullpen. You could just never have enough of these guys. We need to continue to get better and draft these guys as we move forward. Maybe you don't get two next year, Mike.
Right.
But go get another one. And you continue to find out how these guys can help your team. And then maybe you find one that, is special. And by the way, maybe Jalen's that guy. Maybe James is that guy.
Right. Hey, man, like I said, can't wait to see campus. We joked around all offseason from January to April. I was not going to be the hype man. And every time you get a chance to talk to the rookies, it is kind of fun, as we said. A lot of guys loved hearing Xavier Watts. If you heard that at the top of the hour, you can rewind on the app. Guys, on the way home, too, don't forget the Odyssey app in your car. You can always rewind and catch the last hour of the show if you missed it on your way.
Yeah, it's the best thing. It really is. Hey, tonight, Warriors, T-Wolves. What happens tonight, by the way?
I got a feel the T-Wolves got to smell some blood in the water without Steph Curry and plan for it accordingly.
Yeah.
And look at the Celtics as a cautionary tale.
Yeah,
what
a mess.
Killer instinct, man. Don't be some soft millennials. Go get it.
Yeah, what a mess. Celtics, they get some time to think about it. But, yeah, Warriors without Steph Curry tonight. We'll see what the Braves do as well as Schwellenbach is on the hill. Guys, win tonight. Last night, you're not going to win them all, but that was a winnable position you were in,
right.
And it didn't happen. But let's see what he does tonight. Mike and I will be back to talk about it tomorrow. By the way, we're on location, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, right there on Piedmont. Women, as we like to say, in lumberjack outfits want to meet you. So join the party, pal, 2 to 6.
All right, man, let's get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests, Jack Nelson, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman. Appreciate everybody stopping by and chopping it up with us. We'll have a good time tomorrow at Twin Peaks. We'll be talking about the playoff games, the Braves, and much more as we head to a big weekend. Make sure you come out and hang out with us, and if you can, make sure you tune in. Hey, Dom, great job as always, behind the glass, filling in for Oren. By the way, he's posted some pictures to us.
What an adorable boobalook. Man, he's got some great-looking kids.
Oh, man, the baby is beautiful. So
great job, Brittany. She kind of did the heavy lifting.
I would say so. Hey, also, my man, Day-Day, thank you so much, and get ready for a good time tomorrow, Day-Day,
yeah,
executive producer.
Boy.
All right, man, stay right there. Turtles got the night show for you. Stay right here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Some funny sports-related memes with a guy from Chicago being elected Pope by the Conclave. Pope Leo XIV, as we mentioned, grew up in Chicago, then later went to Villanova. So the memes are out there, including one where he steps to the Vatican. He says, God bless all, each and every one of you, except for Green Bay Packers fans. There's another one where there's a billboard and sees the Pope's face, and it's for the White Sox. And it says, even this man can't help this team. And then finally, on a personal level, I get this group text with a bunch of high school buddies. My buddy Jimmy, who you met a few times, he texts in. I'm doing it in Jimmy's voice. I got to tell you, it's the next time. It's divine providence. We got three guys from Villanova, and now we got a guy in the big chair looking out for Bridges and Brunson and Josh Hart. This is the next year.
It might be. You never know. Hey, George Pickens, who was traded to the Cowboys, was asked about teaming up with CeeDee Lamb. He said, well, you can't double both of us.
Yeah.
Schematically, you can't double everybody. George is right. The bigger question is, are you going to grow up?
Mm.
Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you didn't go to a kegger in Madison. Woo!